Okay, so we are starting, a new series called The Character of God, and this will be 6 weeks. I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Bible Project. It has been something of a great resource for us over the last couple of years, and Lisa and I have really kind of dug into it even further. So everything I'm sharing with you today is coming from the Bible Project. So you can find it all online. And those of you that are listening or hearing this recording, Dave will be sending out the links that'll take you directly to this video series. You can drill down, you can see the notes, because I'm going to touch on a very kind of a high level, right, as we go through it. And yes, Dave. Yes. There you go. Thank you. You know, and my hope today is to kind of set the groundwork, right? And we're going to start walking through specifically Exodus 34, 6, and 7. For those of you that are familiar with this, I mean, obviously we'll drill down into some of the details. But my goal is we're going to walk through the video, they're each about 5 to 6 minutes long. Then we're gonna kind of talk through it a little bit. Then we'll break into our groups for questions, right? So those of you that may be new, what we try to do at Nooks and Crannies, right, is we try to make sure it's interactive so that we end up meeting and we kind of turn our chairs around at the end and spend the last 10 or 15 minutes of the class talking through specific questions, how this information relates to our daily life. That's kind of our goal. Right? That's where we're headed. The one thing I will share with you about the guys at the Bible Project is their approach is very much, and one of the things that I've fallen in love with is, you know, they're looking at the Bible in its totality, right? From beginning to end with the idea that that leads to Jesus. Okay? So it's not about picking out one verse. It's about looking at the entire Bible as a literary item, right? You'll see that Tim Mackey is very, very focused on the literary aspects, right? He's very much of a Bible nerd when it comes to that. I'm not a grammar guy, right? It's a little bit different for me to look at that and look at the translations and how, you know, these two sentences are referring to this middle sentence and, you know, just all of the literature elements. For those of you that know poetry and have studied literature, that probably makes a lot of sense. For me, that's kind of a new thing, right? Trying to work through that. So that's kind of what the goal is and where we're trying to go. So when you think about this, and you'll hear them talk about it, that it is very much of they break the books down into movements and then to sections or journeys. And so it's new terminology that may sound different, but just think about it from a bigger picture is what I would encourage you to do. So Exodus 34, 6 and 7, for those of you that aren't familiar with it, yeah, Yahweh, a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. He maintains loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he won't declare the innocent. He won't declare innocent the guilty. He will bring the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and grandchildren to the third and the fourth. One of the unique things about this verse that I didn't realize is this is kind of like the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. It is used over and over and over in bits and pieces of it throughout. And it is quite interesting that so many of the biblical authors of the Old Testament reuse this verse. And one other piece of information I didn't realize, this is actually the first time in the Old Testament, so you start at Genesis, right, Exodus, where God or really the characters or characteristics of God are described. And it's God doing this. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. So I'm going to start the video. I'll step away so you guys can see. But hopefully we won't have any trouble hearing. I checked it earlier, so let's just, but you never know with videos.
The Bible is a collection of many ancient Israelite
Can you hear? Okay.
Scrolls. And together, they're telling one unified story.
Now, if you look at the second scroll, Exodus, you'll find two important sentences. They're actually so important that they're referenced and requoted over 20 more times within the Bible itself.
It must be important. What does it say?
Yahweh, Yahweh, that's God's name, a God compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness.
I can see why it's repeated so often. These attributes of God are really lovely.
And the statement goes on. He maintains loyal love for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he won't declare innocent the guilty. He will bring the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and grandchildren to the third and the fourth.
Okay, hold on. This last part takes a bit of a turn. We're first talking about God's love, and suddenly it's about his judgment on grandkids. So, is God merciful or vengeful?
Yeah, great question. Let's see these words in a larger context by looking at something important in Genesis, the first scroll of the Bible. There, God chooses one family, the Israelites, from among the nations, and he promises that he's going to rescue the whole world through this family somehow.
And Genesis ends with the family of Abraham in Egypt.
Then the book of Exodus begins, and this book has two large movements.
Right, okay, so this first movement of Exodus, God rescues Israel from slavery in Egypt.
And in the second movement, God leads them to Mount Sinai, where they camp out for a year. And God invites this whole nation into a partnership called a covenant, so that they can be shaped by his values and character.
And represent God to all the other nations.
Exactly. Now, this whole Mount Sinai movement in Exodus can be broken up into four literary units. First, there's the actual ceremony, where the Israelites agree to be God's partners. And God sets up the terms of the relationship, starting with the Ten Commandments. The first two are...
Don't give your allegiance to other gods, and don't make any idol images of God. Seems simple enough.
After that, God shows Moses detailed blueprints for building this sacred home so that God can come and live among them.
All right, and then comes a really long narrative about the building of that sacred home.
But you missed something. Right in between these sections is the story that has our description about God's character. The story begins with Moses going up on the mountain, writing down the partner agreement, as the Israelites are at the base of the mountain, violating the first two commands.
That's ridiculous. They're breaking the covenant vows while the ceremony is still going on.
Yes. And so God is hurt and angry, and he warns Moses that this betrayal will keep on happening. God is ready to call it quits.
But what about his promise to rescue the world through them?
Yeah, exactly. This is what Moses brings up. And so, what is God gonna do? Should he end the partnership, which would be fair?
Or will he be faithful to his promise to Abraham and show them mercy?
Yeah, exactly. Now, look back at the words that we began with, and you'll see. They're about this very tension between God's mercy and his justice.
Okay, so the statement opens like this. A God compassionate and gracious.
In Hebrew, this line has three words that rhyme. El Rachum Dechanun. And the line, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness, matches the first, as it also has three Hebrew words, Rav Chesed Ve'emet.
Each of those lines have two attributes of God, and they surround a fifth attribute, that God is slow to anger.
Right. Now, that's the first half of this description of God. Then comes the second half. God maintains loyal love for thousands. And how is he going to remain loyal to people who keep rebelling against him? By forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin.
But God's forgiveness doesn't mean people can just do whatever they want.
Right. God's mercy is balanced in what follows. Yet he won't declare innocent the guilty. He'll bring the iniquities of the fathers upon the children and grandchildren to the third and the fourth.
The third and the fourth what?
Well, it's referring to generations of people who repeat their ancestors' rebellion against God. They'll get what they deserve. But notice, this small number of generations contrasts that massive number up above.
God's loyal love to thousands.
Right. And then check this out. God's forgiveness of iniquity in this line is contrasted with his justice on iniquity in this line.
Okay, and all those lines are surrounding a central line here about God's justice. He will not declare innocent the guilty. So while God is slow to anger, he is also just.
Right. This is the tension that these two sentences are exploring. How does a faithful and loyal God deal with such a rebellious people? This is the challenge God faces in this story, and it's the same challenge he faces in the whole biblical story as he works to rescue the world through this family.
With that in mind, we can take a closer look at these five attributes that God declares about himself to Moses. A God compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness.
And we'll see how each one leads us deeper into the character of God and into the story of the Bible.
All right, so why am I not able to get back here? Come on, there it is. Okay. Okay, so attributes of God, right? And remember, this is God talking to Moses, telling him what his attributes are, right? That he's compassionate, he's full of grace, he's slow to anger, loyal love, and faithful. And so what our plan is going forward is we're actually going to go deep down into each of these for the next 5 weeks. That's where we're going to spend our time, drilling into each of these and understanding more about them. And that's, and they've got, like I said, they've got five videos that follow right along with that. Okay? So let's, I want to go back for a minute, because for me, it was very important to kind of take a step back and think about, okay, well, wait a minute, what is the timeline, right? What's happened? And if you haven't thought about Exodus in a while, which isn't exactly a book we crack open on a regular basis, it's good to kind of remind ourselves, well, wait a minute, what's been going on up until this point? And so if you look at it, right, Exodus 19, so you've got Israel's coming out of Egypt, right? We all know that. They get out of there, they go through the Red Sea, they get to Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. They haven't exactly been excited about it either, right? If you go back and look at that, they've been kind of mad and questioning, hey, why are we here, right? Why did you take us out into the desert so we're going to die? Which obviously doesn't happen. Then Exodus 24 through 31, as they mentioned, right? God establishes a covenant with Israel. So he's saying, okay, guys, we are together in this. Let's come together as a group. Here are the commandments. What do you think? And they're like, yeah, let's do it, right? We're all in. How many times have we done this, right? We're all in. Let's do it. And then Moses goes up on the mountain. They lose faith very quickly. And what do? They make a calf. So of all the things, right, that they break the covenant, they break the very first two. So it's, I mean, to me, I just find that humorous, but it's so human, right? So much of this is us, is human nature, okay? Then Moses, 32 through 34, he intercedes on behalf of Israel, right, in four different times. And they go into a lot of detail there if you want to drill into some of those. But then last but not least, in Exodus 34, which is where this comes from, right, Moses says, okay, God, show me your glory. And this is where God passes by in front of Moses, right? Can't see his face, but he passes by. And as he's passing by, he is sharing his attributes with Moses. And so it's interesting when you take a step back. And then further to that, Moses intercedes a fifth time. Because God, you know, God's frustrated in this. You think about it. He's worked with these people. Even though he's made this promise, he basically tells Moses, I'm not going to be involved anymore, right? I'm going to send an angel and they're going to go forward. And Moses intercedes one more time and says, no, God, you made this promise, right? You're slow to anger. You're full of loyal love. You need to guide us. And that's part of this whole dynamic. So when you think about it from a narrative, as I would call, or they refer to it as a narrative summary, right? You kind of think about the big picture. And we're going to get into, I know they even bring this up, right? One of the tensions is the whole anger thing and slow to anger and judgment and everything else. And we are going to drill into some of that. So it is there, right? But I think we're all, I think for all of us, we see a little bit of that, even in ourselves. I mean, how many times do you deal with your children who you love and you want the best for them, but you also discipline them because you have that love, right? There are times where maybe you have to let go of that, or perhaps let the circumstances play out with them. I mean, I've got friends that have had older kids that have struggled, and they let them go to jail. And that's a very difficult thing to do, but at the same time, it's kind of like, you know, there's that tension there, right? And I think as parents, we recognize that. And especially, you know, if you've got older kids, because they make bad decisions that are, anyway, sorry, I'll get. So when we look at the narrative, right, compassionate, gracious, you know, Moses is interceding, right? And he even says in Exodus 33, you know, we want to find grace in your eyes, Lord. He's slow to anger. You know, this isn't the first time that the Israelites have messed up. They've grumbled the entire time, all the way to Mount Sinai. They were not happy, right? To the point they even said, oh, well, let's go back to Egypt. At least we had food. It's like, guys, you were in slavery, right? Just think about that. Abounding in loyal love and faithfulness. You know, God is compelled to remain faithful because why? Remember, he made this covenant promise to Abraham back in Genesis, right? And that's where Moses continues to bring that up. Forgiving transgression, you know, Moses specifically asked God, forgive Israel's sin and forgive it in the future. God knows this is going to keep happening, right? I mean, he recognizes that, but yet he still loves his people. He won't declare the innocent or declare innocent the guilty. So, I mean, in this particular instance, if you remember, you know, he sent the Levites out. They killed 3,000 of the Israelites that were behind the golden calf. So, I mean, there were consequences for breaking this covenant from that perspective, right? And then repay sinful generations to the third and the fourth. This one was, you know, it's so easy to read this and think, oh, well, if I sin, then my kids and their kids and my grandkids are all going to suffer for this. No, that's not what the text says, right? The text is actually saying it's about the generations. If the generations continue down these paths, they too are going to feel this. And I think to a certain extent, this is more of, hey, this is applicable to all of us. This isn't just applicable to the Israelites, but it's about the generations going forward and how we go down that path. So this is a kind of a summary that they had that I just wanted to read. I felt like it was a great kind of paragraph that the special thing about these verses, right? We see God's core character traits are really rooted in generous mercy and loyal love. If you think through this, right? It means that God's anger, even though it's there, it's not a primary attribute. I mean, how many times does that have to happen, right? How many times does the failure have to come before God finally gets angry and goes down that path? You know, it's a divine reaction to selfish and destructive human decisions, and it's rooted in his love. I think of this as being a parent. And how many times, right, do we see our kids going down a destructive path? Anyway, God's anger and judgment is an important theme in the Bible, but it's not the whole story. God's core character is one of generous love that created the world and longs for its restoration from human evil. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 invites us to a lifetime of pondering the depths and mysteries of the character of God. So once again, we're going to peel this back, start going through each of these individual areas. So here are the questions. Hopefully you can read those. First one is, what is the relevance of God's promise to Abraham? Why do you think that that is so important in this scenario? Number two, what does it mean to you that God is overflowing with loyal love? Have there been people in your life that have demonstrated this sort of loyal love to you? What kind of a witness was that for you, and would it be to you? Number three, how does a faithful and loyal God deal with such a rebellious people? All of us. And then number four, God is slow to anger, but also just. Are there certain circumstances? Are there circumstances or people in your life where you have struggled to demonstrate being slow to anger? I know four of them. So, anyway, all right. So we've got about 15 minutes. And so what we normally do, right, we just kind of turn our chairs in, we group up a couple of tables here and there, and just discuss these, all right? And then we'll close down in about, like I said, in about 15 minutes. I'll leave these up on the screen. Okay.
Well done, sir.
Oh. Six.
Oh, yes.
Come on. No, no, I sat down.
As you should.
Oh, I see what we did. Okay. I was wondering where the, yeah.
All right. The division.
The division?
Line.
Yeah, because we had an odd number of tables. Okay. No, 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 no. Thank you. I forgot all about it. Slide hold to activate. Wait. Hold, slide hold to activate.
And what class are you working in today?
First through third.
Oh, nice. I think. For a second hour.